Good morning. Yes, it's the start of a new year, and we have an opportunity to, I believe, in a spiritual sense, to kind of evaluate the year past and to look ahead and ask God, what do you want to do with me this year? What do you want to do in my life? How do you want me to be more open to you? And I love what Melanie talked about in worship this morning is maybe creating a time in your afternoon when you can evaluate and reflect on what God has done for you in the year past. And also just to pray about what does he have in store for you in the year coming. And so when I was asked to speak today, I thought I will talk about the thing that I spend a lot of my time studying when I'm reading the scripture, and that is about work. I want to talk about experiencing God in your work, and I hope that this will be one of our New Year's resolutions, that we restart. I get reminded every time I come on Sunday to take God in, and of course God is always with us, but how can I be more intentional about having him in my everyday life? So this is kind of part two of my series. I did part one back in October, so this is part two, and my first message was about how God is in your work, and I want to give you a little bit of an overview of it just to remind you how vital work is and how God created us with work in mind. Work is not, we often think of it as part of the curse, but we were created to work prior to the curse, and it's such a good thing. So here's a couple of points from my previous message. I was looking at the book of Ruth, and it talks about how you have an inner need to work because you are made in the image of God. So God is a worker, he created the world, and we were made in his image. So we get to work. It's part of the good stuff that we do. And we all have something the world needs through our work. And we all do different types of work. I do want to say that if you're retired, if you're disabled, if you are a person who's at a stage in your life when you're in between jobs, there are always things that are work in your life. So please don't sort of write me off at the beginning of my talk today thinking, well, I don't have a job that I'm paid for. Actually, everybody has different kinds of work in their life. So this can touch everything that you do. And the world needs you to provide for your share of your household's needs according to the degree that you're able in each season of life. And we can look at the seasons of our lives and ask God and see God at work in us. God is the source of our ability to do things in our work. And the world needs us to invest in the work of others so we can encourage them. And whatever you have to offer in your work, it comes from God and not from trying harder. It's all about letting God work through us. So that's a little bit of what I spoke about before. And I thought that this New Year's resolution about, whether you call it that, but to me it's a goal for the new year. It's both practical and it leads us closer to Christ. So let's talk about this morning, experiencing God in your work. There's a great quote from Martin Luther King. He said, "If a man is called to be a street sweeper, he should sweep streets, even as Michelangelo painted, or as Beethoven played music, or Shakespeare wrote poetry. He should sweep streets so that all the hosts of heaven and earth will pause to say, here lived a great street sweeper who did his job well." Well, a street sweeper is maybe not a glamorous job. You might think of it maybe like being a janitor or something like that. But when you do your job well and also have God in your heart, that is something that's noticed by heaven. And I think that's a beautiful quote. So we all experience God in different ways, and as I was thinking about even this talk, I thought, I don't want to let on or make you think that I have these great, dramatic, huge experiences of God all the time in my life. In fact, I think I experience God in very subtle ways. I do believe that we all experience God in different ways, and partly according to our personalities. So for me, experiencing God is often not terribly dramatic, although I have had some dramatic times when I've heard from God, but that's kind of rare. A lot of times I usually sense God through kind of a quiet inner experience or a feeling. Sometimes I experience God just by obeying the commands of Scripture. And one of my early experiences, when I was 16, I worked as a nurse's aide, now called a PSW, personal support worker, in a nursing home. And my experience of God was to sense his care for other people who were in various states of health. So the work that I was doing seemed to allow me to reach out to other people and offer them care in the practical acts of bathing them and replacing dressing with on-bed sores and wheeling people to the dining room and maybe feeding those who couldn't feed themselves. And I remember thinking, everyone deserves respect. And if I was in his or her place, I would want to be treated with kindness and esteem. Now, I don't recall talking about God with people at that place of work, but I do recall having a sense of compassion in my work. I remember one elderly gentleman who was there. I think he was 92, and his late wife, who he loved dearly, her name was Nelda. So that's my name, Nelda. He and I had a special connection, and he would always be grateful when I was the one who was offering him care. I remember another elderly woman named Nellie, and she was negative indeed. And she would ask for everlasting pillow adjustments and countless other things. And I remember some people quite ambulatory and able to get around, and others very confined to their beds. And some people had visitors regularly, and some never seemed to get a visit from anyone ever. And I look back now, and I think about my faith in that setting. I was a Christian at that time, and I believe that respecting and caring for the needs of others was one way to express the love of God in my work. Now, I wasn't talking about the love of God, and I wasn't necessarily even thinking about it when I was at work. I just did my job, respecting people in that setting. Now, the work was very physical. I was turning and lifting bodies and using the right physical lifting maneuvers to help people move from the bed to the chair and from the chair to the bathtub sometimes, or helping them sit up in bed just to look out the window. I would go home feeling very tired because my work was very physical. I did sense the presence of God, but it was more at the end of my shift when I had time to think as I reflected on the people that I had interacted with. I wasn't preaching a sermon or reading a scripture to people in that job, but I was working to meet the needs of real people in real, tangible ways. The sore muscles at the end of the day were reminders of God's presence in the work that I did. I often think of the work of Jesus as a carpenter, how his work was very physical. He was meeting the needs of people by providing wooden, handcrafted things that they would use in their homes. And Jesus, of course, was perfect. He was the Son of God, and he didn't start his ministry until he was later in life. He had all his teen years, his 20s, where he was doing work as a carpenter, and that was good work. He was doing good stuff then. We often look at his ministry years and think of those as, you know, the ultimate. And, of course, we learn so much from those years. But the years before when he was a carpenter, I bet you would learn a lot from the way that he interacted with people, what he did, the care he took in doing the work that he did, and how he recognized that he was serving others. I like the simplicity of that. I liked the fact that Jesus didn't choose the role of being a king or a high-ranking city official or some stately position. He had a very ordinary occupation, one with which we could all identify, and his work was very physical. More recently, I've heard it explained that there are different dimensions of God's presence that you can experience in various combinations. Recently, I heard a sermon from Will Messenger of the Theology of Work Project that shed some light on my own experiences, and I want to share with you part of his material along with my own ideas today. He talks about different dimensions of God's presence. It's like a little bit of a chart. So one thing that we can experience God is mental or physical. So there's a bit of a chart there. Put that up. Let's see if we can find that. And if it's not there, it's not there. So if you can imagine sort of a Johari window or kind of a 2x2 chart, there's mental and physical across the top, and there's with or without words. Is it in your notes? It's in your notes. Yeah, okay, good. So it's somewhere. So you can think of two dimensions of experiencing God's presence. So one is mental and one is physical, and also words or without words. And when you put them in a matrix, you kind of have these four quadrants. So you can imagine that prayer is mental with words. So that's kind of in the top left space. So when we are praying, we are doing something that's mental, and we are doing it with words. Talking to God with your mind, using words. When you're watching a sunset, that's a little bit different. You're feeling God's presence. It's sort of mental, maybe, with no words. So you might put that in the slot below, a sunset. And then you would think a third category that's physical with words would be singing or moving to music or raising your hands in worship like we do sometimes on Sunday mornings. That's physical with words. And now we get to my story of experiencing God in that last, bottom right spot where we are physical without words. And as I help to care for people, by the way, no words doesn't mean, of course, you can't say anything at work, but it means you're maybe not talking about God per se. And so it turns out that lots of people experience God in that the way that I did in that job. And the way that I still do often, I like doing very physical chores when we do Project Serve, Project Give, those sorts of things. I often feel that when I'm up and moving, there's something neat about that that's energizing for me, especially when I'm serving others. I find that that kind of is a good way of experiencing God. So this is important for understanding God at work because work is often physical. And a physical experience without words is still a way of experiencing God. You could repair a porch. You could climb a mountain. You could drive someone to the doctor's office. You might even be maneuvering your own wheelchair. You could brush your mother's hair. You could enter data. You could ring up a sale. You could cook dinner. You could clean the house. You could write a progress review. You could design a bridge. You would experience God in all of these ways, especially as a Christian, of course, even though they don't have any words about God. So God isn't talking to you necessarily, per se, when you're doing these things, but you can experience God's presence without words because He created you to work. He created you to serve others, and all of work is serving others. All of work, every job, is equal to the other. It's so unfortunate that in our culture we all get paid different amounts. We've assigned different values to different types of jobs, but all jobs have value, and all jobs are necessary. All jobs are things that serve others. So we were created to work. We were created to serve others and to express the abilities with which God designs us. So when we are aware that God created us and we are doing work, we are experiencing God in some way. So there's many ways of experiencing God's presence. Some are focused on words, while others are focused on actions. And different people tend to lean toward different ways of experiencing God. So I want to do, for the rest of the talk today, is to give some examples of experiencing God through work and relate them to three categories about work that I've found in the Bible and give some ideas of how you can develop your ability to experience God in those ways. So the first category of experiencing God is through your gifts and abilities or skills. Just by noticing what are your gifts and abilities and skills. Because you know that those gifts and abilities come from God. He created you. So an example of this is Eric Little from the movie Chariots of Fire. And I said, that has to go on our movie list. We have not seen that as a family yet. We're going to do that. The characters in that movie were real people. Now, I've seen it. We haven't seen it together. The characters in that movie were real people, and during the events of the film, Eric is preparing to go to China as a missionary with his sister. So many of you know this, you've seen the movie. But he's also training to run in the 1924 Olympics. His sister Jenny complains that he's insulting God by postponing going to China. In other words, her experience of God is mentally through words, and she wants to go to China and share God's words with people who would never hear it any other way. So that's great, but it's not the only way of experiencing God. Eric tells her, God also made me fast, and when I run, I feel his pleasure. To give it up would be to hold him in contempt. So to understand what Eric means, you have to remember that all our skills and abilities and gifts are from God. It says in Romans 12, in his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. And if your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you are a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. Running isn't one of the examples in this Bible passage, but Eric knew that all of our abilities come from God. So taking pleasure in your abilities is one way of experiencing God's presence. Picasso said, the meaning of life is to find your gift, and the purpose is to give it away. Life is all about using your gifts to serve others. So the example of this in the Bible is Jesus and his disciples when they fed 5,000 people. In Mark 6, the scripture says, "That evening the disciples came to Jesus and said, 'This place is like a desert and it's already late. Let the crowds leave so they can go to the farms and villages near here and buy something to eat.' And Jesus replied, 'You give them something to eat.' But they asked him, 'Don't you know that it would take almost a year's wages to buy all of these people something to eat?'" So Jesus had been teaching a crowd of 5,000 people out in the wilderness. It's getting late in the afternoon, and the disciples come to him and point out that there's no place for people to get dinner nearby. They think Jesus should send the crowd away to fend for themselves however they can. But Jesus says, "No, you feed them." Now, I often think of that story of Jesus doing all the feeding, but he said, "You feed them." So remember, most of Jesus' disciples were food service professionals. They were fishermen and fish sellers. Telling a food service professional to feed people is not a random miracle. It is a miracle that intensifies the skills that people already have from God. They use their experience to rustle up a couple of fish and some loaves of bread. They give it to Jesus, and they start passing it around, and everybody gets fed. It was a miracle, and it came about as Jesus' disciples were using their everyday skills and abilities while experiencing God's presence. And I think that's a beautiful story of the way we can be today in our lives. I love one of Todd's quotes that he often said, "God's preferred style of miracle is to multiply what we offer him. When we offer him our work, he multiplies it. He wants to use who we are, how we're uniquely created, and he wants to multiply it to serve the world." I love the story of the widow at Zarephath in the Old Testament, when the prophet asked her to bake him a loaf of bread. Now, of course, this was something she was good at. She did it regularly. But because of the famine, she was almost out of ingredients. And when she baked bread, which was her skill, for the prophet, God replenished the oil and flour continually. Now, we forget when we read the Bible that God uses ordinary work to do extraordinary things. She was just baking bread, and it became a miracle because she allowed it to be. So God uses ordinary work to do extraordinary things. Oswald Chambers said, "It is ingrained in us that we have to do exceptional things for God, but we do not. We have to be exceptional in the ordinary streets of life. In the ordinary things of life, and holy on the ordinary streets among ordinary people. And this is not learned in 5 minutes," he said. Well, I think this is an ongoing learning for us to take what is ordinary in our lives and to give it to God. I've used the illustration before that when my kids were little, I would be making lunches for them, and I hate making lunches. I, as quickly as possible, got them to make their own lunches. And to this day, they make their own lunches. But when they were very, very little, I would make their own lunches. And I remember thinking, I hate doing this. This is such a pain. It's so boring. And I had this moment of thinking, I need to do everything as unto God. So I said, "Lord, how do you take your bagel?" And then I made Jordan's bagel. And I really believe that God uses our heart of worship to be a blessing to him, and he multiplies that in our lives. And when you have those kind of eyes of faith, it is amazing what happens. So I've experienced God's presence in using my gifts and skills, too, in my present life, although I don't always notice or pay attention to it. I sometimes have glimpses of God at work through me, and when that happens, it's great. It doesn't always happen, but I certainly do look for it. We all have what's called multi-potentiality. We could all do so many different things, and we are not confined to one occupation. Often, however, we can find themes of the things that we like to do and do well. And for me, I've discovered that two of my greatest gifts are discernment and creative problem solving. And when I'm doing that in my work, I feel an internal satisfaction. I feel like I am meant to do this. Like, look out, this is my thing. And you all have that kind of experience, too. It can be little things or big things, things along your way where you think, this is really what I know I'm good at. Often at Christmas, I work on a jigsaw puzzle. And using your gifts is kind of like that feeling when you put the puzzle in the right place. You finally get that piece, and it becomes addictive because you find one piece, and then you have to go looking for the next one, and you're like, oh, man, I was going to go to bed, and it's 1:30, and I'm still working on this piece, because you have, on this puzzle, because you have this satisfaction from putting every little piece in. But you know, when you're working in your giftedness, or when you're doing a job that uses who you are, you have that same feeling like, ah, that felt good, or yes, that's great. It's fun, it's pleasure, and it's an actual feeling, a good feeling. So what if the feeling like putting a jigsaw puzzle together is actually an experience of God's pleasure in your work? Have you ever thought of that? He created you with your abilities. What if you could recognize God's presence, God's pleasure, every time you feel your pleasure of using your skills and abilities? When dinner comes out delicious, when you make the sale to someone who could really use your product, when the student you're teaching makes the connection, when you complete the project on time, when the university course you're taking comes easily for you to learn. And what if that was experiencing God's presence and God's pleasure? So how can you get better at recognizing God in this way? I think if we paid attention to this, it would be really neat. We could have so much joy in our lives to recognize, God, you are at work in me. So you can develop this way of experiencing God by thanking God when you are making use of the skills that God has given you. Something about giving thanks makes the experience stick better. It reminds you that God is the source of your abilities. Thanking God opens the door in your soul to experience God's presence in your skills. And thanking God develops your ability to experience God's presence, to feel his pleasure when you run. So what do you think would happen in your life if you looked for experiences of God through mental or physical activity? Imagine, what if you allowed God to be the source of your abilities and gifts, but also embrace the joy that comes with it? My second point is that another way of experiencing God's presence at work is to meet real needs. An example of this in the Bible is Moses. It says in Exodus, "Then the Lord said to him, I have certainly seen the oppression of my people. I have heard their cries of distress because of their harsh slave drivers. And yes, I am aware of their suffering, so I have come down to rescue them from the power of the Egyptians and lead them out of Egypt into their own fertile and spacious land." Like Moses, some people experience God very powerfully, like through a physical sign or experience. And this scene happens when Moses is at work as a shepherd. He's leading his flock over a mountainside, and suddenly he sees a burning bush, and he hears God speaking to him from the bush. Very physically, the exertion of climbing the mountain with the flock, the heat of the flame, the feel of the ground beneath Moses' feet, and God later tells him to take off his shoes. Moses definitely feels God's presence. As I said earlier, I think God speaks to us in different ways, sometimes according to our personality. And my dad is this strong, boisterous Dutch guy, and God speaks to him in very strong ways, and I think God doesn't speak to me in those ways, but I think God knows how to speak to me and how to speak to my dad. My dad was addicted to smoking, like lots of Dutch people, and he really prayed that God would set him free, and he wanted to quit smoking, and he had this dream. And he describes it as this very powerful experience where God spoke to him in a dream and he saw this package of Export A cigarettes and he reached for them and he heard a voice that said, "It has no power over you anymore." And he woke up and he thought, well, that is strange. He shook his head and he went back to sleep. And he had the same dream again and he couldn't believe it and he went back to sleep. And in the morning, he couldn't smoke without throwing up. He started brushing his teeth and he didn't buy another pack of cigarettes after that, dramatically. And that's how God spoke to him. That kind of worked for my dad. But God speaks to us all in different ways, and we need to look for and think about, what is my temperament? How might God speak to me? So for me, God often gives me a feeling of peace or unease to know where God's presence is leading. Now for Moses, God's presence was there to get Moses to meet a real need. So remember, well, a way of experiencing God's presence is to meet real needs, and Moses was doing that. So his need was to get God's people out of slavery in Israel. So really, all of our work is service to others, And in one of Jesus' parables, he said, "Whatever you did for any of my people, no matter how unimportant they seemed, you did it for me." We are the fingers of God in the world, and that truly is God's presence in us. So there's lots of times we do our work as if our faith doesn't matter or doesn't relate. We can miss out on the experience of God in our work. If you have in your mind that business is business and faith is faith and the two don't really meet, then you will not experience God in your work to the extent that you could. You might miss the opportunity to feel God's presence. What can you do to open up yourself to experiencing God's presence in your work? One thing that you can do is put yourself in the place of the recipient of your labor. So think about whom you're serving. Some of our jobs are kind of in the background, and we may not see regularly the impact of what we do. Are you programming computers or doing the accounting or organizing events? Take some time to visit the end user, the customer, the buyer, the recipient of your work, and talk to the owner or the people in the department that relies on your work. If you connect with the difference your work will make in someone's life, perhaps you can recognize God at work. See what human needs your work is helping to meet. My favorite quote, and yes, this is my favorite quote. I have it on my website, and I feel that it really says something about what God has done in my own life. The place that God calls you to be is the place where your deep gladness and the world's deep hunger meet. And we are always meant to be looking for joy in using our skills and ability and meeting needs. So those two together are a wonderful combination. Knowing your talents is not enough. Knowing how you are meeting the needs of others brings the world alive. What do you think the world is hungry for? So an example I have is I worked for almost 5 years with Conestoga College in the career department, and I had the joy of seeing the results of government funding being used for the benefit of hundreds of job seekers who would otherwise struggle to find resources. But the administrators of the program who were allocating the funding, they were working for the College of Universities, they only saw numbers on spreadsheets. And at one point, they came to speak with the program participants. And they interviewed them, they heard their stories, and we sort of prompted them with questions. And what was it like when you first came to the program? What was it like when you left? And so they left, the administrators left on cloud nine. They were just overwhelmed at how all this money was really being used to help people, knowing the dollars were spent impacting real lives. And seeing faces and hearing stories instead of just looking at numbers is much more motivating. So maybe you can create opportunities in your own work where you think about those human faces and who you really are impacting. Sometimes we have to create our own opportunities to see the good results of our work and how God might be using our work. And that often leads us to pray for the people whose needs we are working to meet, and it encourages us to work faithfully for their good. So my question, what would change in your life if you viewed your work not as the basis for your self-esteem, but as a way to meet real needs and to be of service to others? My third point is that you can experience God by having a parallel conversation with God at various times in your work. So the idea of having a parallel conversation, and it sounds like you're really multitasking, but there's different ways that we can do it, and maybe different times through the day when we can think about God and just reflect on him, and other times be very engaged in our work, and we sort of do this back and forth where we connect with God and do our work. And of course, there's a famous book, Practicing the Presence of God, is the account of Brother Lawrence. He was an ordinary man. And he describes his approach of talking to God in all activities. So this was 300 years ago. This was an uneducated lay cook in a French monastery. He discovered how to enjoy a profound awareness of God moment by moment, even in the midst of busyness and distraction. He cultivated a keen sensitivity to the presence of God in everyday life. So Brother Lawrence explained his changing duties over 15 years and how he tackled tasks that were not easy for him. He struggled to get around. He was described as being lame. At one point in the stories, there were interviews throughout this book, he described how he was told that he had to go into town to buy supplies, and he had to get into this ship, and he literally had to roll his body into the ship. And it was a very difficult task for him. But he chose to focus on doing everything for the love of God, and he kept focusing on the love of God in all that he did. And his quote is, "Doing everything for the love of God and with prayer for God's grace to work in him." And in contrast, a lot of times we think that in order to be spiritual, we have to get away or retreat or go to some remote island location or some quiet place to hear God. But Brother Lawrence, the patron saint for the overworked, took a different approach, practicing the presence of God while doing his activities. He inspires all of us who find ourselves caught in endless, frenzied work. He worked effectively in a clamoring, clattering, busy kitchen, and at the same time, he experienced God's presence. He shows us how Christians can engage deeply in spirituality without having to escape to a quiet place. In fact, work can be a setting, no matter how hectic, in which we experience God's presence. And to the people around us, they experience God in us while we honor God in how we approach our work. Brother Lawrence said we should focus on establishing in ourselves a sense of God's presence by continually conversing with him. And he resolved to make the love of God the goal of all his actions. He said, "Our only business is to love and delight ourselves in God." So Brother Lawrence focused his work on the love of God as Jesus commanded. Jesus said, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love others as much as you love yourself." We know that loving and serving others is ultimately the end of all our work, the very goal of our work. But practicing the presence of God goes even further by focusing on the love of God and talking to God while you work. An example of this is King David, and I love reading the Psalms because this is David was really talking to God through all kinds of things. And, you know, sometimes we hear these sermons and we hear it sounds so spiritual and it must be all just glorious and you're in cloud nine all the time. But actually, there's also the experience of just talking to God in some very frustrating times and saying, "This is not working out, God, and will you please help me?" And that's the kind of stuff that you see in the Psalms. So here's the contrast. He said, some very positive praise in Psalm 103. "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me, bless his holy name." And he wrote in Psalm 1, "God blesses those people who think about God's law day and night." And that's what we're commanded to do, think about God's law day and night. But David wasn't always doing those pleasant praises. There were raw, desperate cries for help and laments in discouraging circumstances. He was praying about his problems, pleading with God to help him. And he said things like this in Psalm 86. "Proud and violent enemies who don't care about you have ganged up to attack and kill me. But you, the Lord God, are kind and merciful. You don't easily get angry and your love can always be trusted." We know that God hears whatever we want to express to him while we are at work. And there's a very big difference from being in a challenge where our backs are turned away from God to being in that same challenge and having our back turned toward God. The challenge doesn't always change, but our attitude and what we do with that can make all the difference. We're instructed in the first letter written to the Thessalonians in the New Testament, "Always be joyful and never stop praying. Whatever happens, keep thanking God because of Jesus Christ." So we can all increase our practicing the presence of God in 2018. We can talk with God in the different roles that we're in, which involve different forms of work. So you can think about through your life or maybe different segments of your life where you take on different roles, and there's different types of work that come with that. And in that type of work, we can practice the presence of God. Being a member of a household where you can contribute to the completion of chores. Being a student when we are learning, preparing for present and future work. Being a parent. Being a son or a daughter to an aging parent. Caring for a household and doing repairs or buying groceries and so on. Being a friend, being there for others. Being a manager of other people. Being a member of a committee or a volunteer. These are all different roles that we have in our lives, and they all involve different kinds of work. Talking with God while we work honors God, and it brings out the best in us. It also gives us access to supernatural divine power. And most importantly, it trains our spirit to listen to God's spirit, and that transforms us. So what would you like to say to God while you're taking out the garbage next time? Or while you're meeting with a coworker at the office? While you are working on your next project? Or maybe, are you grumbling, talking behind people's back at work? Are you muttering about something somebody said to you or worrying about tomorrow's agenda? It would be wonderful if we had a positive outlet for some of our frustrations, even turning to God in things that are hard. When we don't have a positive outlet for our frustrations, we resort to the negative. So try praying. It's revolutionary. You don't have to be on your knees. You don't have to have your hands folded or your eyes closed. You can be praying to God and thinking, Lord, help me with this, just in moments and bits of things while you're doing your work through the day. So I'm still learning and experimenting for sure. I think we should all find our own style and think about what works for us. Maybe keep a journal and write down, here's how I heard from God today. When you keep a journal of how you see God, you see more of him. What you focus on grows. So we can listen for his voice and we will hear it more. So keep experimenting, but look for God. He is everywhere and he's living in you. He's living in me. So in 2018, I want to ask these kind of questions. I wonder how your life would look if you talked to God more during your work and talked to God more about your work. What would change in your life if you viewed work not as a measure of your worth, but as a way to meet real needs and to be God's hands serving others? What if we allowed God to be the source of our gifts and abilities, because he is, but also embrace the joy that comes with it, like putting that piece of puzzle in and going, yes, that felt great. So that when we complete a fulfilling work activity, we would think, thank you, God, that felt great. How happy would you be? Also, how would it be during our difficult times at work? How different would things be if we said to God, this is hard, God, help me to experience your presence in this? And what if you looked for experiences of God through mental or physical activity, with or even without words? For this year, I'm challenging everybody here to put up a reminder note somewhere for yourself. God, I want to experience you in my work today. Let's pray. Dear God, we just honor you by looking to you. And Lord, we ask for your help. Jesus, as you lived on earth, you were the example of relying on your Heavenly Father. And we choose to do the same. Lord, we are all in different types of roles and different types of jobs and in different places in the community. And I ask, Lord, for your help. All of us turn to you within our hearts. And we ask you, Lord, would you help us to remember you in our days, to know that you are our source. Lord, we want to honor you with our everyday activities. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen.